إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. أعزائنا العلماء, my dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you that the purpose of ibadah is not ibadah. The purpose of ibadah is not ibadah. The purpose of worship is not worship. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us, innamal a'malu bin niyat, the reward of the deed is based on its intention. So let us ask ourselves, what is the intention when we worship Allah? Because the purpose of ibadah is not ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what the purpose of each ibadah is. The reason I'm saying this is because we seem to have convinced ourselves that activity is its own end. Activity is never its own end. Let me give you an example of physical activity. For example, an activity of exercise. What is the purpose of exercise? Why do you exercise? To strengthen your body, right? This particular thing nobody needs to explain to us. And if you say, well, I'm going to the gym because I like to go to the gym, it doesn't make sense. You don't go to the gym because you like to go to the gym. You go to the gym because the effect of that gym on your body. And when you say go to the gym, the receptionist of the gym also goes to the gym. And the receptionist spends 8 hours, whereas you spend 1 hour. But the purpose of the receptionist and your purpose are two different things. So what is the purpose of salah? We just did tahajjud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the people who did tahajjud in keeping with His majesty and grace. So what did we get? Why did you do tahajjud? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about salah, inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. What is the purpose of salah? That it should separate us from all fahushat wal munkarat, from all sins of shamelessness and from all disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all things which are forbidden. Allah did not say, we just heard in Salatul Fajr also the ayat of Surah Taha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimi salata li dhikri. For a purpose. Establish salah to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most of us, and I speak for myself, most of us are plagued with ghaflat in salah. My thought wanders. Why does your thought wander? When the salah is to be established for the dhikr of Allah. So your thought wanders where and why? Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. So we finished Salatul Fajr, alhamdulillah. Now we need to monitor ourselves during the day to see, did this Salatul Fajr separate me from fahushat wal munkarat? Does this Salatul Fajr help me not to tell lies, not to deceive, not to break promises? And you might say, well, you know, you are speaking to a bunch of, mashallah, not just practicing Muslims, but many of you or most of you are imams, and all of you have come all this way here because you are interested in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is this man talking about fahushat and munkarat and lying and cheating? But to say to somebody that you will come at a particular time and to come late is lying. Yes or no? To break a promise. The problem is that we have got so used to this way that we also give it a name called Muslim time. And we are not ashamed of saying that. Time is a number. Time is a number. Time is not open to tafsir. 9 o'clock does not mean something to me and something to you, and there is a symbolic representation of 9 o'clock, and there is a spiritual representation of 9 o'clock, and there is a hidden meaning of 9 o'clock, which only the people of knowledge have access to. What? 9 o'clock is 9 o'clock, man. So the point I'm making is that don't self-congratulate yourself and say, I never murdered anybody, alhamdulillah, stay that way. And I did not do this, and I did not deceive somebody, and I do not fornicate, and I do not go to the disco, even for the purpose of giving dawah to the discoites. People have all kinds of reasons. The point is my salah making correction in my life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the month of Ramadan and about fasting, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that month which is going to come very shortly, inshallah, and to grant us this month in a state of good health and in a state where we can take maximum advantage of this month. What is the meaning of that maximum advantage of the month? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? The purpose of fasting? Kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Last Ramadan, alhamdulillah, we fasted. So how did our taqwa improve? What is the measure of improvement of taqwa? How do you measure that? How do you measure that taqwa has actually improved? Allah said, I prescribe fasting so that taqwa will improve, so that you become muttaqoon. Yes or no?
Yes.
So if we fasted and we did not become muttaqoon, then the purpose of that fasting is fasid. It's gone. Purpose is not achieved. The problem is the way also how we teach this, how we teach about ibadat. We talk about the salab. You pray tahajjud, this is what you will get. You pray far, this is what you will get. In Ramadan, you pray far, you get the reward of 70. You pray nafil, you get the reward of far. In fasting, you do this. We talk even about the hikayat and the stories of the salaf. And we say, Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu used to say, the most beautiful ibadat, the most beautiful thing I like is to make wudu with cold water in the winter and stand for tahajjud and to fast in the hot days. When the days are long and when it's very hot, my pleasure is in fasting. And we give this story and we think that this is the purpose of it. Why is he saying the pleasure of fasting? Does it make sense to you? Long, hot day fasting, the pleasure of fasting. What's the pleasure? What is the pleasure? Should you not ask this question? What is the pleasure of fasting in a long, hot day? The problem is also the way we teach. You know what is the pleasure of fasting in the long hot day? Is the pleasure that you get from obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. That is the meaning of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fasting. In fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited even the things which He Himself has made legal otherwise. Who made certain foods halal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who made certain kinds of drinks halal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who made the relationship between the husband and wife halal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who prevented them during the time of fasting? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the pleasure of fasting in the long hot day? I don't drink water, and the suffering of that not drinking water, I say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Zal Jalali Wal Ikram, I am obeying you and this is what gives me pleasure, Allah. But we don't talk about that. We say this happened, this happened, this happened. So what happened? The purpose of ibadah is not ibadah. The purpose of ibadah is to get us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of ibadah is to achieve something. So for every ibadah, we need to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of this ibadah? And then we need to monitor ourselves and say, okay, I did this ibadah. Did I achieve this purpose? How many times have you heard the stories? So-and-so used to read 1,000 rakat nafil in tahajjud. We've heard, right? About many people, about the salaf. So-and-so read 1,000 rakat nafil. What do you think he was doing? Trying to count? It's our way of looking which is wrong. Did the one who prayed 1,000 rakat, did he ever say, I prayed 1,000 rakat today. Tomorrow I am going to pray 1,100. No. He was praying 1,000 rakat for the same reason that you do 1,000 reps with the dumbbells. He's building his muscles. He's building his spirit. He's building his khashiyatullah. He's building his... You have the problem of... You count the wrong thing. You are counting his rakat. Who told you to count the rakat? Seriously. You look at what he is building. I've said these stories many times and I love repeating these stories. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi stands in tahajjud. And before he starts his salah, he says, Ya Allah, even the stars have gone to sleep. You know, latter part of the night, some of the stars set. He said, even the stars have gone to sleep. And he says, Ya Allah, only two are awake. You on your arsh and me here. Only two are awake. You on your arsh and me here. Now don't tell me that, you know, in Australia it was morning or something. Don't get literal about it. What does it tell you? What does it tell you about the taluk with between the abd and the rabb? Jalla Jalalu. And then he starts his salah. So what kind of salah is that? Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi is praying tahajjud. And he hears a sound in the house. Like somebody breaking in. So what does he do? Does he say the masala of fiqh? First of all, this is nafil ibadah. I must protect my property. So, you know, forget the ibadah. Then go and take care of the... Allah Akbar. He is with his Rabb. When he finishes his two rakat, he finds a man standing there. So the man says to him, what kind of a man are you? So Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, who are you? I mean, you are in my house. You are asking me what kind of man I am. Who are you? He said, I'm a thief. He said, I'm a thief. He was also a Muslim, mashallah. He said, I'm a thief. He said, I came to your house to steal something and you have nothing. He said, what? So I thought I must stand here and wait for you to finish and I must tell you this thing. But what kind of life is this? Sir? You have nothing at all. What life is this? He's talking to Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah. So Hasan al-Basri said, no, I have. He said, what do you have? He said, I'll give you. He said, give it. He said, no, go make wudu and come. He said, I will give you. You go make wudu and come. Yeah? So the thief thinks, you know, I got nothing, maybe this man will give me something. So he goes and makes wudu and comes. And Hasan al-Basri said, come now, stand here next to me. He says, Allahu Akbar. And when that two rakat of salah finishes the tahajjud, that thief is weeping. He is crying. He said, I make tawbah. He said, Wallah, you gave me. He said, I got more wealth today than I ever got in my life. He said, truly you gave me. He said, I make tawbah. I will not do this. We read Quran. Why do you read Quran? We're talking about ibadah is not the purpose of ibadah. It's not an end in itself. Ibadah is a means to an end. Ibadah is a means of getting somewhere. So what is your destination? What is your destination? You get into the bus. Why are you in the bus? Oh, I want to ride in the bus. So ride in the bus. Where is the bus going? You don't care because you have to ride in the bus. Does it make sense? No. What is the first thing you ask before you get into the bus or the train? No matter how nice that bus is. Where is it going? Where is this thing going? I still remember an incident long before all these security in airlines and so on happened. I was on a flight from Delhi, from Hyderabad to Delhi. The door closed, everything closed, and then the pilot announced that this is a flight so and so going from Hyderabad to Delhi. One man stand up, oh, what happened? He said, I'm going to Bombay. Yeah, he said, I'm going to Bombay. He's on the wrong plane. Now, in today's world, this won't happen because of all the different security checks and so on. But there was a time when you could just walk onto a plane. And if you live as long as I do, you have many memories. Don't believe Sheikh Bilal said, Sheikh Yaver is in his 50s. Sheikh Yaver is in his 63rd year. 62 finished, 63 is going on. Alhamdulillah. So the point is that purpose, where is the plane going? Where is that bus going? Where is your salah going? Where is my ibadah going? Is it going anywhere or am I on the bus for the sake of the bus? So Tilawat al-Quran, why do we do Tilawat al-Quran? For what? For sawab. Now please understand, sawab is a consequence of the ibadah. It happens anyway. Sawab is min Allah ta'ala. To look at the Quran with belief is ibadah. To make wudu and hold the Quran with respect is ibadah. And don't get into the argument of, you know, is it permissible to touch the Quran? Somebody asked me this question. Is it permissible to touch the Quran without wudu? So I asked the guy, I said, do you want to touch the Quran without wudu? He said, no. I said, then why are you asking me this question? We have got used to asking stupid questions. Worthless questions. You don't want to touch the Quran without wudu? Don't do it. Tell us. Is it permissible? Why you bother about permissible? You don't want to do it, right? So don't do it. And if you really want to touch the Quran without wudu, ask yourself why. Forget about the permissibility. Is it permissible to kick your father accidentally? It's a question like that. I mean, meaningless, senseless question. So why do we do Tilawat al-Quran? For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked a question in the Quran. Allah asked many questions in the Quran. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, where are you going? Now we all know the ayat and we all know which surah and so on and so forth, right? I remind myself and you, did we ever answer this question? Suppose I ask you, what time is breakfast? If I'm asking my sheikh here, Sheikh Bilal, what time is breakfast? And what is his answer? What time is breakfast? What time is breakfast? What time is breakfast? I say, boss, what are you trying to do, man? I'm asking you a question. A question demands an answer. You are repeating the question. And you are saying, Allah is giving me salah for repeating the question. Allah asked you the question so you can repeat the question. Or did Allah ask you a question for you to answer? But we have got used to this. My brothers and sisters, let us remember and remind ourselves that the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not come to be recited for the sake of reciting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not prescribe salah for the sake of salah. Allah did not prescribe fasting for the sake of fasting. Allah did not prescribe zakat for the sake of zakat. Allah did not say come to Baytullah for Hajj for the sake of it. No. Ibadat are for a purpose. Ibadat are to achieve something. And therefore, we need to ask ourselves, what is it that this ibadah is supposed to achieve? And then we monitor that to see whether that thing is happening or not. And that is the reason why people, for example, the Nawafil, and the Nawafil is the way to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reason why, for example, people repeated Salah again and again and again. Why? Not to count the rakat, but because I am not satisfied with that 2 rakat, so I do more. Or the other way is also that 2 rakat gave me so much pleasure, I want to do more. So it's one of the two. So don't say that Shaykh Yawar was criticizing Hassan al-Basri or somebody, or you know, saying that he repeated the Salah because he was not satisfied with the quality of Salah. No. That is what I am talking about myself. But for the Salaf, inshallah, they were repeating also because, why do you eat too much chocolate? Because you love chocolate. You taste chocolate. Ah, very nice. Some more. And unlike chocolate, the Salah will not spoil you. It gives you benefit. So, very, very important for us to monitor the effect of our ibadat. And to see whether these ibadat are getting us what they are supposed to get us. Right? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you, to accept your suffer, your coming here, and to give you the reward that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised to those who leave their homes and go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the path of seeking of knowledge. And I remind myself and you also to remember that the purpose of seeking knowledge is not itself. This is again the issue. We take the hadith which relates to people who go out for the seeking of knowledge. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the angels spread their wings and they walk on the wings of the angels and so on, and even the ants in their nest, they make dua for them, and the fish in the river make dua for them, and the sea, and so on. All of this. And we forget that the purpose of seeking knowledge is what? Practice. Amal on that knowledge. Is to practice that knowledge. Yes or no? It's not that is the reason why there are some phrases which I am allergic to. And that's why there is this completely ridiculous phrase, student of knowledge. That phrase is neither grammatically correct in English, nor does it make any sense whatsoever. What do you mean student of knowledge? What else is a student? Have you ever heard of a student of ignorance? Crazy, I don't know who invented these phrases, but student, I'm a student of knowledge. Oh, that's very nice. I'm a student of ignorance. I'm trying to understand what is ignorance. Every student is a student of knowledge. What else is it? Practitioner of knowledge. We learn in order to practice, otherwise the knowledge becomes a hujjat against ourselves. Please understand this. Don't feel happy about because you know so many books, because you studied so many books, because you are hafiz of the Quran. It is not important to become hafiz of the Quran. It is important for the Quran to become your hafiz. How can you become hafiz of the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the hafiz of the Quran? Did Allah say, I am giving it to you, please protect it? Or did Allah say, I will protect my own kalam? Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Allah did not make you the hafiz. Allah said, I am the hafiz. The purpose is to make the Quran our hafiz. How does that happen? When we live and work by the Quran, when we practice the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu in the way that was shown to us by His Habib, by His Nabi, by His Rasul, Muhammadu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So the purpose of reciting and learning the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu is to relate to it, is to respond to it. I mentioned this story many times before. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the whole of Suratul Rahman to the Sahaba. And they sat and they listened to the whole recitation, and then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, he said, are you not going to say anything? The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what do you want us to say? We heard this very beautiful recitation, and there's no recitation more beautiful than the recitation. in the voice of the one who received this Quran. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what do you want us to say? Rasulullah ﷺ said, when I recited the surah before the jinn, every time I said, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, he said, the jinn responded. And they said, لَا بِشَيِّمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةِ رَبِّنَا نُكَذِّبُ. لَا بِشَيِّمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةِ رَبِّنَا نُكَذِّبُ. They said, oh Allah, we do not deny any of your ni'mat. Oh Allah, we do not deny any of your ni'mat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every time I said, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, they responded. Because what is فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ? It's a question. It is a question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listing all his ni'mat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is my ni'mat. What will you deny? This is my ni'mah. What will you deny? This is my ni'mah. What will you deny? How many will you deny? So what must we do? First and foremost, reflect on that ni'mah itself. Reflect on the ni'mah itself. Why is this a ni'mah? How is it a ni'mah? What would be the world without this ni'mah? For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ar-Rahman wa'allama al-Qur'an. Ar-Rahman. Why does Allah introduce himself by this word? Why does he say Ar-Rahman? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names and attributes that we know. Never say Allah has 99 names. You don't know how many names Allah has. Who told you that you know He has 99 names? He told us about 99. Is there a limit to the Asma'us Sifat Allahi Ta'ala? There is no limit. How many? Who knows the adad of that? Allah knows. So out of the ones that He told us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have introduced Himself by any of those attributes. But He did not. He used this Ar-Rahman. What is Ar-Rahman? Ar-Rahman is the one who is at the peak of His mercy. He's the same person as Jawan, Atshan, Ghadban. Very hungry, peak of hunger, peak of thirst, peak of anger. Ar-Rahman, the peak of mercy. What is the problem, however, what is the problem at being at the peak? Goes down. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha, what did He say? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. What is Rahim? Same wazan as Kareem, for example. Somebody who has Izzah. It doesn't go away suddenly. It is something which continues. So Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is the one who is at the peak of the mercy, and unlike the makhluk, the mercy never ends. There is no decline in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalla. So now you are only at the first word of Surah Ar-Rahman. You haven't gone anywhere. Ar-Rahman. Reflect. Sit. Think. What does this mean to me? How is my Rabb Ar-Rahman? How has that affected me in my life? How do I approach my Rabb as Ar-Rahman? عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. Don't worry, I'm not going to sit here and do the tafsir of the whole surah. Don't worry, we'll finish. I'm just pointing to the way that we need to approach the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. Why? For the same reason. Ibadah is not an end in itself. So ask yourself, when I'm reading the Quran, what is the purpose of reading the Quran? And then monitor yourself and say, is the effect happening in my life or not? So, my brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your coming, to be pleased with you, and to open your hearts to His nur, to His dhikr, to His remembrance. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen your iman, to strengthen your connection with Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. and to show the benefits of the strength of that connection in your lives and in your hearts. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.